Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So welcome to today's podcast episode. Today we have Selena in the hot seat. Podcast hot seat. We realise that we've never actually done an episode on career change, and Selena is literally the queen of career change. She's been making it her business to help people create careers they love for over 12 years and has in that time coached the brightest minds and talent from the likes of Google, Apple and UN Women, A-list musicians and leaders in the creative and music industries, helping them to create lives, careers and businesses that they thrive in. So if you're feeling a bit miserable in your job and wishing that you had a career doing something that you love, then this episode is for you. So let's start with a little stat that blows our mind a little bit. So over 50% of the population in the UK are miserable in their jobs and want to change career. Why do you think that so many of us are so unhappy at work?
Oh, well, first of all, I would say that a lot of the time people don't realise that their colleagues are miserable in their jobs, and it's only once people actually quit and decide they're leaving and handed their notice that suddenly all these people call out of the woodwork. They go, oh my God, I can't believe that you had the courage to do that. I wish I could do that. I think a lot of the time when we're miserable in our work, we sort of think that we're the only one and can start to think like, what's the matter with me? Why can't I get into it? I should, you know, on paper, this looks like such a good job and I should be grateful for it. I should be happy for it and I should enjoy it. Maybe if I just tried a bit harder or worked on my weaknesses and all this sort of stuff that we get told, maybe then I would enjoy it. And actually, like the stat suggests, 50% of the population in the UK are miserable and unhappy in their work. It doesn't surprise me. Obviously, I've spent the past decade talking to people who are miserable in their work. So for me, I'm not surprised by the stat. There's two main reasons why I think that so many of us get stuck doing work that isn't right for us, that doesn't make us come alive. And they both come down to education and the way that most of us, I don't know what it's like today. I'm hoping it's getting much better. I hope that my son, who's starting school in September, is going to discover a whole new form of education that isn't just basically trying to get us down the factory line. But those of us in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s and up have had an education which does basically raise us to be employees. And God, if I think about my career's education or my career's advice that I got, I was told I could be a police officer. I was told that I'd be very suited to being a technical illustrator because I had a steady hand. And then I was told at university my options were to be a teacher or, what was the other thing? Oh, a translator because I did languages. There you go.
Of course.
Choose from those four. I was just like, it just boggles my mind the way that we were taught about career. We are never asked, and we're never asked at school, we're never asked in our careers advice, you know, session that we had that one 15-minute chat with the advisor, to explore and discover what we each need to feel happy and fulfilled in the work that we do. That's not the question that we lead with. And that's going to change over time. Your circumstances will change, your priorities in life will change, your interests will change. So you have to keep coming back to that question. But that is like news to everyone. So whenever I coach someone, that's always where we begin. We'll go back to basics and we'll find out what are the ingredients that you need to be happy and fulfilled in the work that you do. And they're like, wow, okay, how the hell do we do that? And actually, through a process of looking back at the things that you've loved doing in the past, whether it's work-related or whether it's on holiday, I love personality assessments as a starting point so that people realise, for me, when the first time I did a personality assessment was the first time I realised, oh my God, we're all different. Some of us love attention to detail and some of us just simply were not born to be good at it. And I'm one of those people.
And then it's okay to not be good at everything.
Well, you're the same. Except you're a bit better than me, but we're the same personality type. So it's just like repetitive tasks feel like just literally like this life is being sucked out of us. For other people, there's a rhythm to that. There's an enjoyment to that. Some people love being in an office environment. They love a 9-to-5. They love having that kind of structure, that stability, getting out of their home and into a workplace. for some of us, it's just, we're like caged animals and it's just not the right place for us. Introverts in an open planned office, anyone in an open plan office actually doesn't really work very well. And that's the way most of us work. So it's starting to understand what environments you thrive in, what environments drain you, what kinds of people are people that, you know, you really love to spend time with and collaborate with, and how do you like to work? Some people love conflict, thrive off it. Some people die when they're in conflict. Like, this is like the worst thing in the world. And so understanding yourself and how you work and how you tick is like the first place to go to. And I think because we just haven't got a culture and we haven't got an education that, or certainly we didn't have an education system that encourages us to ask ourselves those questions and find out those answers, we haven't even got a starting point. So most people will say, I just fell into this because of maybe a contact they had, or someone came to their school or university and they were like, all right, well, I'm good at chatting. I guess marketing might be the thing for me. Or like, I'm really creative, or I love music. I'll try and get into the music industry. And then it's just like, and the further and further up they go, the less they're doing anything creative and the more they're actually doing stuff that they're not suited to. So I think there's that. And I think also the other thing that we're not taught is that we can change, or how to go about change. And actually, changing career is such a new thing. A lot of people are doing it these days. But when I started 12 years ago, career change was just like, kind of only came when you felt like you'd failed and you had to. So it was like, so now it's just a very fresh and new thing that people are doing. So we haven't been given the tools to know how to bring about that kind of change and how to handle the fears that come with it. And as you know, because you've changed career, and it's terrifying.
Yeah. And some of the fears are really unexpected as well. There's this quote that I read once about our worst fear can sometimes be getting exactly what we want. And like this fear of success.
Yeah.
And I never knew what that meant. And as soon as I did quit my marketing job and we were working full time on Project Love, and it was such a dream come true. And the first few weeks I was just really anxious because I had no structure. It was just overwhelming. So unfamiliar and so scary. And that fear really surprised me. And I really understand now what that quote really meant.
Yeah. Also with that is freedom. So we think, dream of it. You can spend decades in an office, like in a cubicle cage, being like, I just want to be free, I just want to be free, I just want to be free. And you suddenly finally go through the whole process and you set yourself free. And then it's terrifying. Because before, at least people were just telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And suddenly now you're the master of your own daily destiny and choices. And it's totally overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we also do like structure.
Yeah.
So, you know, then there's the having to bring that back in. But I think the other reason why people are miserable, 50% of people are unhappy in the work that they do, is because of our whole understanding of work and our narrative around work. And this always fascinates me, is that because we have this mindset and this belief that work is hard, work is something that wears us out. We don't want to do it, we have to do it. And for many of us, we were brought up seeing our parents sacrificing their happiness, their well-being, the things they really wanted to do because they had to work.
Mm.
And so if you're going around thinking that's what work looks like, when you're going through that process of choice or finding some work to do, you're never going to be going for the thing that sounds really fun and really easy, because that's not what work is.
Yeah.
And so often people will say, I'll say, you know, you'd be really good at, you know, this or that. And they'll go, what, people would pay me to do that? And I'm like, yeah, but that would just be easy. And like, why can't it be easy? And they're like, that's not allowed. You know, so like school is hard and striving and working hard, you know.
Mm.
And so we often choose the thing, not the thing that would be easiest and most fun to make money, but maybe the second thing down, because we're still good at it. It sounds quite fun, but it also sounds a bit like hard work, and that's what work is supposed to be. And the other thing in that is that we have this deep-rooted resistance to doing something that might appear as if we're betraying our family and our parents, even if we didn't get on with our parents.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating. This comes up all the time in sessions.
Mm.
Like, you get to it and they, you know, it's this idea, but my parents worked so hard. If I, to make the money to that, you know, so that we could live well, or just so we could survive. If I now go, and am successful in doing something that I love, that I find easy, that I only have to work 3 days a week and I make loads of money, that's going to show them up. I can't do that to them. And, or even if someone came from, you know, a family line that struggled to make money and they now are being shown this way of actually making money with ease and making a lot of money, they feel like, but that's people like me, that's not for us. Mm. You know, that's not what my family and my people, it's not available to us. It's not possible for us. Mm. And that stuff, that deep rooted stuff can really get us stuck. So it is a lot around bringing those narratives to the surface and those mindsets to the surface to see what's really in the background, steering our choices when we don't perhaps know.
Totally.
It's fascinating. It's so, so interesting.
I think that's such an interesting topic, the payoffs of staying stuck. Yeah. You know, the upsides of staying stuck, because we don't realise that there could be a potential payoff to staying stuck.
Oh my God, yes.
It's so interesting, the resistance stuff. Yeah. When you get into that, like, oh, this is why I am behaving in a way that reinforces this, because it's giving me something. It means that then I get to stay the good girl. You know, the good girl could be one of them. It's just so fascinating. So how do you do it? How do you find a career that makes you happy?
Well, I've got a simple 3-step plan. No, I don't. These 3 steps will get you into that dream career. With any big life transformation, you know, it is a journey. It's not a step-by-step linear journey. But I suppose there are sort of a few key phases. The first one is getting to know yourself. So back to that question of what are the ingredients that I need today to really feel happy and fulfilled in the work that I do? So you're looking at what activities make you come alive. I love the quote by, I've forgotten his name, Harold Whitman, I think, that says, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive, and then go and do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And that quote changed my life, because I'd always, when I was in my early 20s, was always looking for what can I do to make a difference in the world, and kind of burnt myself out on that. And just then was like, oh, if I just go after what makes me come alive, then that took me down the path of fun and play and not worrying about, you know, the rest of it, and eventually found my way into doing this work, which is fun and play, but also makes a difference. But yeah, it's just really getting to know yourself, playing detective, looking back at the times where you've really been happy in what you're doing, when you're really in flow, when does time, just you forget about time because you're enjoying what you do. What do people often come to you for help with? So with you, it was just like you were always found long ago, long before, you know, you became a love coach, in the corners of clubs and bars and anyone's house talking about their love life when everyone else is like, back away. This person is like going on and on about their boyfriend. And you're just like, ooh, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, it's never, people will never end up in a career where they're like, God, who would have thought? I was never interested in that before. It's always just like, it makes so much sense, because actually I've always kind of been doing this for people anyway. So it's kind of then, you know, those basics, those ingredients, and then looking at, okay, well, how could you do that? Also looking at things like, do you want to be in an office? Do you want to work with people? Do you want to make things and sell things? Do you want to, you know, be offering a service? Do you want to help advise people, inspire people? Do you want to be there in emergencies, like fixing things? Like, what is it? What are the topics that fascinate you? And like, how do you want your day-to-day to be? Do you want to be able to have the freedom to choose when you work? Or do you want to have a set structure that you go in from like 9 to 6, whatever it is? And then you kind of, it's really about exploring and experimenting. So I'm really big on projects, because what people get stuck in is they can spend years thinking about this. And again, this comes back to our education. We sit at a desk and we figure stuff out. Whereas actually there is an important amount of like reflection, but that's just at the beginning. And then with that, you go, okay, now go and try something out. So it could be like taking a dream. I've always dreamt of being a jewelry maker. Well, for a while I did. I had this dream of being a jewelry maker. It felt very exotic and free and all these things. And I was like, right, well, let me actually try it out for size. I'm going to make some jewelry. I'm going to sell it. And
I wish I knew you then.
I know. Maybe you would have owned some of the ceramic necklaces that I made in that time. But it was really interesting. It got me. I created a brand with my friend, like a logo, and I came up with this design, and I found a place to do these ceramic beads, and I made them and I sold them and I told people about them. The real basics to a business. The actual jewelry making was the most boring process. I was sitting there watching like daytime TV, making these same freaking beads over and over. And I was like, this is not what I envisaged. But that process of coming up with a design, letting people know about it, having my own business, that lit me up. So then I was like, well, I know that bit. So I definitely want to have my own business because that excites me so much. It's just not going to be making jewelry. Also, I wasn't particularly good at it. So it's, you know, in projects, in trying things out, that's where you really start to get clarity and you start to learn. Because a lot of the time we can go, I really want to, you know, have freedom and I want to be able to talking to people and I want to be able to like give them a great time, whatever it is. And so many people go, I think I want to run a cafe. Really imagine myself running a cafe because it, you know, it sort of like ticks a lot of boxes. But it's such a fascinating one because when you dig down and you, first of all, you say, well, how do you, what do you imagine you'd be doing when you're running this cafe? And invariably people are like, well, it will be running lovely around me. And I'd, you know, maybe they're really into me. I'd make some cakes and people would be enjoying my cakes. And I'd actually be on the side, you know, just working on a book I'm writing. And I'm like, so hang on, what about the stock taking? What about the cash flow? What about this?
The early mornings.
And they're like, oh no, I'm not sure. No, that's not really my thing. It's like, then possibly having a cafe isn't your thing. So what we imagine in our heads doesn't always match the reality of it, which is why it's so important to do that, to test it out for size. I mean, because otherwise you can end up investing huge amounts of money because your imagination has decided that what you want will be fulfilled in this new career path. You invest in it, you go and do a course. I had an old housemate who went and invested a lot of money in training to be a pilot before he'd ever gone up in a small plane or like had any experience. And when he finally did that first solo flight, he landed back down and he gave me a call and he was just like, I don't want to do it. I was like, man, why didn't you discuss this with me? I mean, like of all people, you know, you're living with a career change coach, but no, he was determined this was his thing. And he's just like,
how long does it take to train?
I don't know, months, but a lot of money. Like he took out a loan. I was just like, oh, mistake 101 when it comes to making a career change, try it out first. But, you know, I think it's just, and if you have done that, don't feel bad about that. It's all learning and it's all part of the journey, but that is something that people can end up doing. So for example, if someone says to me, I don't know, maybe I'd like to try being a coach. Great. Get a couple of friends or friends, whatever area you feel you might like to help people with and give it a go. Yeah. Try it out. Just tell them, look, I'm playing at this. I'm really giving it a go. Mm. All I want is your feedback. You don't have to pay me anything. And also like take it all with a pinch of salt because I am, you know, I'm just literally trying it out. Then you can get a feel for how you enjoy it and you can get a feel for how they enjoyed receiving it. So the sweet spot is you're doing something you love and other people are finding value from it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really at the basis of any like career happiness. So then exploring and experimenting is so important, creating a project out of all of these different little ideas to try them out. And that is the bit I think people try and skip. Because they don't want to be in that space of not knowing, but doing something anyway. Mm. Not knowing it's going to work, but it's scary. It's messy. You're a beginner. People are like, what are you doing? And then you have all this. Then there's the shitty committee. Of course, yeah. So much is like chatting with the shitty committee. And the shitty committee during career change is either really nasty and mean and like, who the fuck are you to think that you could do something like that? You know, particularly when you start to realize this is something this is something that I would really love. That's when the nasty, shitty community can come in and be like, why do you think anyone would want you to do that? But then there's also a really strong one is the sensible one, the sensible voice, who's just like, oh, no. This is a very good job you've got. Like, you know, let's not ask for too much here. You've got stability, you've got security. I'm freaking out if you think you're going to change your job. And like that sort of, you know, that fear comes in. It's really, really important when you're making the change that with every person, it's looking at your personal circumstances. Some people could quit tomorrow. They have savings and they could just go off. And that's also not necessarily right, even for the ones who can do that. But some people can do that. Some people can't. I couldn't just quit what I'm doing tomorrow and take 3 months off. Mm. You know, and a lot of people can't. And that's fine because there's always ways of creating the space that you need to train, or to go and start a business or to do whatever you need to do to make that transition, going down to 3 days a week, 4 days a week. Sometimes when people are really in jobs that just are zapping all their time and their energy, then the thing to do is to find what I call a stopgap job, in the meantime job. So once you know, like, this is the thing I want to do, but it's going to take a bit of time to get there, and this current job is absolutely killing me, then you can find something that may be a step down, doing stuff you already know how to do. It might not be the most fulfilling work, but it's the kind of stuff that will bring in enough money and doesn't zap all your time and energy to kind of free you up. So then that gets into just the real practical sort of transition stuff. And at the same time, you're dealing with all the shitty committee, which should be going berserk because it doesn't like change, doesn't like the unknown, doesn't like doing new things, doesn't like you being a learner. And so a lot of it is managing fear and doubt. And that's why I think going through something like a career change or any change, you know, finding love, the sort of side effect of it is you go through so much personal growth and transformation.
Totally.
As well, that actually, God, you just grow so much. It's such a good opportunity to see all that crap that's been under the surface that suddenly gets woken up.
Yes.
And it's like, wow, hi everyone. The mean, shitty committee, the sensible one, all these different, you know, sides of me also running the show, but they kind of get ignited when the sun, like, what the, whoa, 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 what's going on? Change is afoot. Let's shut this down. So, yeah, I mean, so understanding all of that, which is why I just absolutely love working with people going through this change, because it takes such courage. And because it's such courage, hey, make any change in life, because it can feel at times really scary. So anyone who's willing to take that on, it takes bravery, it takes courage. And you know what this is like. It's just nothing quite like being able to be on the sidelines and like cheering them on. You can do it. You have got this, and helping them to sit. That's your shitty committee. Let's deal with that. Let's talk to the sensible side. And I think it's important with the sensible side to listen to that side and go, okay, what do you need to feel safe in this? Right. Okay. Let's make sure that financially you've got this, you know, a certain level of like backup plan and stability, because people very quickly go to, and then I'll be homeless. And it's like, wow, you feel like you're two steps away from being homeless. It's really not the case, but let's actually look at what would happen if things weren't to work out or whatever it is. I never, ever encourage people to take such a big leap that it paralyzes them or throws them into daily anxiety or actually puts them at any kind of financial risk. And there's always ways to do it that doesn't require that you do any of those things.
What I love about the projects is that you can just start today. You can start now. You don't need to wait until you've got this perfect brand or website or finished idea. You know, you could just start to do it today.
Yeah, exactly. That's a brilliant point. Because if you wait until you have the perfect idea or the perfect brand, you will never do it, because no one ever comes up with that. If you talk to anyone who has their own business or made a career change, they had to just start before they knew what the hell they were doing. And that's the bit that takes courage.
You know, I was listening to this interview with the founder of ClassPass, and she was saying that the business, or maybe it's a couple of businesses before ClassPass, she'd spent about 18 months on this amazing website and brand and this user experience, and they were super confident about the launch, and they launched it. And I think it was... I think it was similar to ClassPass, but it wasn't quite the same. And they had like 3 or 4 signups a week or something like that. And they were just like, oh my God, we've built a business model that's based on millions of people using this platform. And I had to start again. But that was like, you know, gone so far down the road to wait to ship. It's what Seth Godin talks about, shipping. Is it just ship before you think you're ready, and ship it when it's imperfect and not this super polished, you know, finished idea. But she was just saying, God, that was a learning. You know, I should have just been a bit more scrappy and just like, you know, waited
Definitely.
For all these other obstacles that we put in our way. And the obstacles just come from that fear, don't they? Those fears. We're not ready yet.
Yeah, what will people think if I put this out and it's not perfect? Just like, what will they think if they put, I mean, it can't be perfect. Nothing can be perfect. We get so caught up on perfectionism, and that is one of the big things that stops us. But I think as well, what I've seen is people coming up with a business idea and then putting it out there, like getting it perfect before they even launch it, let the world know about it. Don't test it. Don't put it in beta form and just put it, you know, spend years on it, put it out there, and like what happened with ClassPass, people didn't want it. Or I've worked with people who had this amazing business idea and they could see what good it would do in the world, and they were amazing business ideas, and they did it and they launched it and they set it up, and 5 years down the road, they are running a business that they hate running, because what they didn't do was to ask themselves, what ingredients do I need to feel happy and fulfilled in the work that I do? They fell in love with the idea. And this happens loads. Really successful, really smart people. And that's the thing, is I think also if you are really smart and successful, to then start to be like, I think I might have chosen the wrong thing for me. It's very hard to admit that. It's also really hard to let go of the status that a job title has been giving you for many, many years.
Yeah,
and
the identity.
The identity. Oh my God. Particularly people who are doctors, lawyers, in some kind of senior role or anything that people go, ooh, at parties when you say, what do you do? Because so much of when we meet people, I try not to ask this question actually until like, I really see how far I can leave it until I ask
too.
It.
I don't like asking it because I don't like answering it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to turn around on me. Oh God, I do many different things. Okay, which one shall I start on? But yeah, I just find that I like to get to know a person for other things other than their job title. But most of us, we are in a world where you meet new people. Oh, right. So what do you do? And so if someone's going through a career change and they've taken some time out to figure out what they're going to do, that question is enough to keep them indoors until they've figured it out. Because the kind of a sense of, embarrassment of like, I don't know. I've said to people, I was speaking to a friend years ago and she was going through this, and she says, you know what I do when people ask that? I fix them in the eye and I say, I don't really know what I'm doing at the moment. And they're very uncomfortable with that.
I bet.
Because it's other people's discomfort sometimes as well. So, you know, you'll meet that as well. This is a really interesting one with career change, is that your closest family and friends can sometimes be the least supportive because they're freaking out for you. And also if you're saying, say, for example, a doctor, I don't know if I want to be a doctor anymore. They're just like, then who are you going to be? Who are you? Not what are you going to do? Who will you be? Because I've always known you as this for such a long time. This is now freaking me out because I don't know what box to put you in. And I like people to be put into boxes, I understand. Or because it throws them. So if they've been thinking, you know, if deep down they don't enjoy what they do, but they've been telling themselves, well, this is what we all have to do. You know, that's work. People don't enjoy it. You just do it because you got to, because you got to make money, you got to pay the bills. If someone in your close circle who was part of that narrative now goes, fuck that. I don't want to be that anymore. I want to do something I actually enjoy, and I want to go out and I'm going to make that happen. That really rocks the boat for people who are in that close circle who don't want to have that mirror held up to them. So they're also going to be like, at your age, come on, be realistic. And say all the things that your shitty committee is saying to you. So it's really important in the early days to make sure you only share your desire to change or the fact that you are changing with people that are just natural supporters and optimists.
Yeah.
Not because, I mean, you know, it's important to get realistic feedback, but there's realistic feedback and then there's the naysayers because they're scared. Or they're scared of the idea of change or of you changing.
And they think that they're protecting you.
Yes, exactly.
And you might not even want to share the process. If you are in a process of career change, you might not want to share that journey with people. I remember hearing an interview with the founder of Spanx, and she said that she didn't share it for a year with anyone.
Really?
Especially her family. Yeah, because she said she knew they would have talked her out of it.
Yeah.
If she tried to describe, you know, imagine a pair of tights.
A massive pair
and
of
cut
tights.
Them off and you wear them under your clothes. Like, she just knew that people would say that's ridiculous, it's crazy, you shouldn't
do it.
What are you doing? So she said she made a conscious decision to keep it to herself for 12 months until it was more fully formed.
Yes.
And she was more, you know, she felt like she could then talk back to the naysayers because she had more of an idea and confidence in the idea of what it was.
Well, because she probably spent some time going and challenging and answering her own doubts and fears about it.
Yeah.
But until you've done that, when people sort of echo your own doubts and fears and you haven't yet got an answer to it,
yes,
it's enough for you to turn around and kill off your idea altogether.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good to go out there, strengthen your like, yeah, this is right. This really does feel right. And here's the evidence of why I think this is going to work with that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then yeah, I definitely, when an idea is really sort of fragile and early, really protect it. It's like a little newborn fledgling seed that you've got to really protect and look after. Otherwise you could crush it in seconds with someone's negative comment.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a roller coaster ride, changing career, but there is, when you have work that you love to do and that you're proud of and that fulfills you and that makes you come alive and that nourishes you, there's nothing like it. And if you have work that drains you, makes you miserable and makes you feel like you're having to be a different person to the person you actually are when you go into work, that really is sucking the life out of your soul. And yeah, you do owe it to yourself to make that change. And I honestly believe that anyone can make a career change and can find work they love to do. I think the big challenge in all of it is handling your own fears and not letting them dissuade you and tell you it's a stupid idea. And you should just be lucky with what you've got, happy with what you've got. Stop being so spoiled and fussy. And often nearly always people come to me and say, I just think maybe I'm the one you're not going to be able to help. I'm so glad you said that, because 98% of the people on a discovery call will say that to me. But maybe you will be the first one, the one that like breaks all the rules, and you will actually be impossible to help. But no, everyone always thinks that because they just can't necessarily imagine it. And I think also when you're really stuck, you just get so foggy. You can't see clearly because there's all that stuff going on. So it's just, yeah, it can be really hard to see and to feel that you're anywhere near being able to figure it out. And so often people are so close to the answer, just scratch the surface and there it was all along. Mm. But they just feel like they're a million miles from it.
There's something that you shared with me before, which is the importance of permission and how people say to you, you've just given me permission. And that's what, yes. And it unlocks them. So they, yes. A lot of the answers that they may have just, you know, they've had the answer before, they've just totally dismissed it.
Oh my God. Thank you for bringing that one up. Yes, that is one of the biggest things I think I give people as a coach is permission. And it's crazy because like, why are you giving me authority? Like, why are you letting me tell you what you can do or can't do? But I think because we've got so much, we've had influences in our life, we've got this strong narratives about work and what's possible and what isn't and what's allowed and what isn't. You can't be that fun and easy, you know? And people do often say to me, that's not allowed. So I'm just like, yeah, it is. That's the big secret, it is allowed. So often they, you know, I'll say, in an ideal world, what would you be doing? Or if I could wave a magic wand, what would you be doing? And pop, out it comes. And I'm just like,
that's such right? a good question.
So why don't you do that? And they're just like, that's, I'm like, well, yeah, I'd love to do that. I'm like, well, why aren't you doing that? And they're like, because, I mean, can I? And it's like, yes, you can. And that permission, they're like, oh, okay. So, right. So how would I do that then? It's like, right. Okay. So like, let's come up with a plan to figure out or to help you make that transition. First, try it out. Let's actually see if you want to do it, just because in an ideal world, or you imagine having a magic wand, that is what you would be doing. Let's test it out first and let's see for sure it's what you want to do. But then, yeah, that's, I mean, it, sometimes it can be that simple of like, just that's what I mean. You scratch the surface and it's there, but they never allowed themselves to believe, to even go down that route of questioning. You know, you don't sit in a careers advice office. We certainly didn't in my day. And they go, tell me about what you dream of doing. Tell me what makes you come alive. Let's find out the ingredients that you need to be happy and fulfilled in the work that you do. That was never the question I was asked. But if you do ask yourself those questions and whatever answers come up, then sometimes you have to hone it a bit and see, okay, what could that look like in real terms, and, you know, craft it a bit. And we don't always know what's possible, what's out there,
you know.
So maybe it takes a bit of exploring, finding out what people are doing in that field, or, you know, people who like doing that kind of activity, what kind of jobs that sort of, you know, is good for. And then you need to do a bit of exploring and finding out. Then you can be experimenting. But yeah, it's that permission. And again, it's about dreaming and allowing yourself to dream, and then knowing how to take those dreams and take the ingredients out of those dreams, and then turn those into reality, or see what different forms they could take. So yeah, I started doing this 12 years ago. It's amazing to me, who I like a lot of variety and I like a lot of to try different things. It's amazing to me that I still find it fascinating to see people go on this journey and to help people on this journey. Because every person is unique, their journey is going to be unique. And, you know, it's kind of exciting and
it's really
exhilarating to be with them on that journey of like managing their fears and the sensible side and the scared side and the mean side that are all kind of, you know, telling them what they think, and then exploring, and a lot of play is involved as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, love it.
I was just going to ask you, what do you love about it? You just told me. It's so exciting because it just really reminds me of where I was at back in 2012, having these same thoughts, asking myself these same questions. And I think a question that you got me to ask was, what would you do if money was no object? Mm. What's the video? It's Alan Watts, isn't it? There's a YouTube clip.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Watts. And it was so amazing. And I remember asking myself that question back in 2012. And I was like, oh my God, like I'd never, ever asked myself. I was so stuck in this employee mindset, you know. I studied, I was a good girl, got my degree, and then I just fell into a media job because that was what was recommended to me from, as you were saying, the short time that I had with the careers advisor. And I thought, yeah, media buying sounds fun, cool, let's do
it. Buying sounds buying, you say.
media planning and buying, sign me up. And so, it just really took me back to some of those questions I was asking myself. And really, Project Love, that process that you've just described is how Project Love came to be. And it was all about the exploring and experimenting and testing things out. And I remember just time blocking, you know, 20 minutes out of my week once a week to begin with to just work on this stuff, because that was all I had. I was super overwhelmed at work and working all hours, you know, working on events, marketing events and things like that. And so I didn't really have a lot of time, but then it just built up. The more I started working on this as a project, and then the more we started working together, and the more time that I gave it. And then it went to, I ended up going down to a 4-day week in my marketing job at the time. And we used to call it Love Fridays, didn't we?
Yes.
Because on a Friday, we'd go to the South Bank Centre and record a podcast.
Yeah.
And so it's just like really reminding me of that journey, like, you know, meeting yourself where you are and using the time and resources that you have available and then building up from there. It's just so exciting knowing that there's people out there that could be listening to this thinking, oh, I'm ready for that same journey.
Ah, do you know what? I suddenly remembered being in the South Bank with you on one of our Love Fridays and saying, Vicky, do you realise? You were like, oh my God, I just, this day, it just makes me so happy every Friday. And I was just like, do you realise that one day it will be like this every day? This is what we will be doing. And you were like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, we've got to remember this. We've got to remember when you get there to like really, because then you can get so used to it and forget that once upon a time, this was the dream.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, love it.
So how can people work with you?
So I've just opened up a couple of spots on my 3-month career change coaching program. So if, as you've been listening to this, you thought, oh my God, I need this, then head on over to loveprojectlove.com/careerlove and you'll find out all about the coaching program and a form for you to fill out if you're interested in applying. So I open up spaces pretty much once every quarter. Other than that, head on over to show notes. I'm going to, by the time you're listening to this, there will hopefully be a new career change series that will have started, maybe on YouTube, maybe on the podcast. Haven't quite decided yet. But head to show notes and there will be a link about that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to spending some time this summer sharing some guidance and tips all about career change to encourage all of those well, there's 50% of the yes. UK population that are currently miserable in their jobs. Try and help you move your way towards doing something that you love.
Listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.